coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Love Letters, a Bible study on the epistles with Pastor Arno Bessel of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon.
Welcome to the series of Bible studies on the first letter of the Apostle Paul to Timothy. In our last study, we considered Paul addressing the young pastor Timothy, encouraging him to remain true to the sound gospel and to refute false teachings. Paul also highlighted God's grace, mercy, and love towards us, human beings, particularly through Christ Jesus, who came into the world to save sinners. Now in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, Paul writes as follows. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. The Lord Jesus used to pray frequently, and he also taught his followers to pray. The best-known prayer legacy Jesus left for us Christians is the Lord's Prayer. The Apostle Paul learned the lesson of prayer, and he encourages us in his writings to pray as well. A Christian prays privately and in the company of others. When Christians come together for divine service, prayer is an essential component. Paul urges Timothy to incorporate in worship, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving. All these four words are synonymous of prayer, each with a different nuance. Supplications are offered for specific benefits or needs. Prayers include a wide array of petitions. Intercessions are made to God for others. Thanksgiving are expressions of gratitude for benefits received from the Lord. Thanksgivings are always appropriate, even when circumstances are difficult, because we are always in God's love and care. Paul underlines the fact that prayers shall be made for all people, which comprise not only the persons who are related to us, but all believers and unbelievers, including the enemies of the church. When Paul speaks about praying for all people, he points to some in particular, namely, that we shall pray for kings and all who are in high positions. In the days of Paul, that included the notorious Emperor Nero, ruler of the Roman Empire. All governing authorities are instituted by God. Consequently, they deserve to be honored and respected. All those in high positions, that is, those who are in charge of public affairs, shall be included in prayer. If they carry out their duties with wisdom, honesty, and justice, then stable and secure conditions are likely to prevail in society. Then also Christians will encounter the ideal atmosphere to lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. A country well governed also offers favorable conditions for the proclamation of the gospel. The apostle continues to write in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3-7. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at a proper time. For this I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am telling the truth. I am not lying. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Although the apostle teaches about prayer, He keeps the focus on Jesus Christ in whom there is salvation. God is described as our Savior. That is what He is. Being our Savior, He has one genuine and deep desire, namely, all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. God does not have a selected bunch of people He loves and favors, and others who He despises. No, He sincerely desires the salvation of all people, and that includes you and me. Sadly, not all people will be saved, not because God does not want their salvation, but because they reject the gospel and resist the work of the Holy Spirit. The apostle explains how salvation has been prepared and how it comes about. The one and only God, there is no other, made His Son Jesus Christ the mediator between Him and sinners. Jesus, true God and true man, took the place of sinners and gave Himself as a ransom for all when He died on the cross. He paid with the price of His life for the sins of all humankind. As the one and only mediator, Jesus Christ defends our cause before God the Father. By faith in Jesus, we are reconciled to God, are forgiven, and enjoy peace. We shall note that the apostle says that there is one mediator between God and men, Jesus Christ. There are no other mediators. In practice, this means that Scriptures do not teach that we are to call on the saints or to ask the saints for help. Scripture sets before us the one Christ as the mediator, atoning sacrifice, high priest, and intercessor. He is to be prayed to. He has promised He will hear our prayer. Salvation takes place by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, the one who gave Himself as a ransom for all, the one mediator. This message is to be proclaimed. Over the years, the Apostle Paul was one of the messengers who announced this gospel. The Lord Jesus appointed Paul to be a preacher and an apostle, a teacher of the Gentiles. Sometimes Paul's apostleship was challenged. He affirms that he was appointed by the Lord Jesus, and this is certainly true. Paul's special mission aimed to reach the Gentiles. For this reason, he traveled around the world known in those days to spread the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. In the sequence of his writing, Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 to 10 the following. I desire then that in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. Likewise also that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel, with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness, with good works. Once again the apostle touches on the subject of prayer. He has in mind corporate prayer. At any place where public worship was conducted, prayer should be an essential part of it. In older, more established congregations, the overseer or pastor would be the one to lead the congregation in worship. Those who led prayers in public worship were to be males. The recommended posture for prayer should be hands lifted up. This is an ancient posture that shows the need and expectancy of the one who prays. The hands are empty, having nothing to offer. The hands are stretched up, expecting to receive God's gifts. Uplifted hands are holy. When all anger and quarreling is resolved through repentance and reconciliation, before petitions are offered to God, women, when they join the congregation to worship, are advised to adorn themselves in respectable apparel. Outward adornment should reflect the inner purity of those who profess faith in Christ. This recommendation applies to all times and places, especially as the congregation gathers for public worship. Paul also stresses women's modesty and self-control, that is, keeping honorable conduct and refraining from bodily passions and desires. The apostle also mentions that women should avoid braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire. Elaborate hairstyles and ornate jewelry in the first century were expressions of vanity and sexual promiscuity. The finest garments could cost the equivalent up to 7,000 denarii at a time when the average worker was paid 1 denarius per day. Pearls, for instance, were considered 3 times more valuable than gold. Paul is not condemning any adornment or fine clothing per se, but rather the excess and immorality which those items conveyed in those days. This also applies to our days. Adornments and clothes that distract others and disturb from concentrating in worship should be avoided. The true adornment of those who profess godliness is good works, according to the apostle. This adornment should not only be outward, but should match inner virtues. After all, what fills the heart is expressed by words, deeds, and attitudes. In the continuation of his writing, Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 to 15, the following. Let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness. I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a transgressor. Yet she will be saved through childbearing, if they continue in faith and love and holiness with self-control. These statements are very controversial and have raised both much discussion and notorious interpretations. This is one of the hot theological topics within Christian denominations and between Christian denominations. Some maintain that Paul's teaching about women here in this passage is historically conditioned, not universal and timeless. The assumption is that it was part of the cultural view in those days and is attributed to the low consideration women were held in another era. Consequently, women are ordained as ministers or pastors by a number of Christian denominations. On the other hand, confessional Lutherans maintain that Paul's statements are not limited to a certain time and culture, but are applicable to every age and culture. This is the position the author of this study sustains. Consequently, confessional Lutherans do not ordain women to the holy ministry. Paul says, "Let a woman learn quietly and with all submissiveness." How should this statement be understood? In Paul's days, women likely participated as singers during worship, as they used to do in the Old Testament times. They also prophesied privately, but they did not serve as public ministers of the word. This principle Paul is stressing here when he writes to Timothy. Paul also states, "I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet." God calls qualified men to teach and preach the scriptures in the church's public services. Women may actively teach the scriptures to other women, to children, and in private conversations with other believers and unbelievers. The authority to publicly preach and teach the scriptures to the assembled congregation God gives to men. On what basis does Paul make these statements? Paul takes into account the distinction between male and female in God's created order. God created male and female for distinctive roles. Adam was created first and given specific service, namely, to work the Garden of Eden and to care for it. Eve was then created as a worthy, compatible mate. This does not mean men are more important or superior than women, but that God established different callings for them. The relationship between husbands and wives, set in place before the fall into sin, remains unchanged today. Thus, the commands and prohibitions concerning men and women in this passage of 1 Timothy are not simply reflections of first century Jewish culture or Paul's personal opinions. Paul roots the practices of the church in God's created order. How to interpret Paul's statement, "Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a transgressor"? Did not both Adam and Eve fall in sin? Yes, both did. Adam's sin and his role in the fall are not denied here or elsewhere by Paul. The distinction is that Adam sinned willfully, while Eve was a victim of deception. Adam transgressed, not captivated by appetite, but merely from the persuasion of his wife. Adam did not exercise his God-ordained headship. Eve did not exercise her God-ordained role as a helper and ally. The results were deadly. The apostle also states that the woman will be saved through childbearing. Does this mean that when a woman gives birth to a child, she obtains salvation? No. Paul's argument shifts from the consideration of one woman's sin, that is Eve's, to the salvation for all women by the birth of a child, that is, Jesus, who would defeat Satan on behalf of all women. So women are not saved by giving birth. Through faith in the child Jesus, women are saved as they live out their God-giving vocations. Childbearing is an example of the most noble, exclusively feminine vocation. Summarizing our considerations in this study, we can say that scriptures affirm the unique vocations God assigned to men and women at creation. Our sinful nature may sometimes raise questions concerning the roles and responsibilities God has assigned to men and women, causing us to fail to see that God has given us His divine design for male and female because He loves us and always wants what is best for us. Let us turn to Jesus, who faithfully fulfilled the divine role assigned to Him as the one mediator between God and all people. He willingly submitted Himself to death as the sacred substitute for sinners. Through faith in Him, we receive forgiveness of sins, and we rejoice to serve Him in earthly vocations characterized by thanksgiving, modesty, and self-control. Thank you for reflecting with us in this study. Please join us again next time.
This study has been prepared and presented by Pastor Arno Bessel. He serves St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. The congregation at St. Peter's is expecting to meet you and to share the good news of Christ with you. Divine services are held on Sunday at 11 a.m. and Bible studies on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. For more details, visit our website, stpeterslutherans.co.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, St. Peter's Lutheran Church, Plymouth, England. For questions or comments about any issues raised in this program, write an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Check our program online and stay tuned.